Limbaugh, RNC was about saving America from a race war Democrats actively trying to promote. By Jeff Poor on August 29, 2020. During his nationally syndicated show on Friday, conservative talker Rush Limbaugh discussed the Republican National Convention held earlier in the week and how it compared to the Democratic National Convention in a pre-recorded message he made as he recovers from an infection. Limbaugh gave President Donald Trump and the RNC high marks but said the DNC was being used by Democrats to be divisive. One of the elements Limbaugh praised about the RNC was the push for inclusiveness, and argued Democrats were promoting racial hostilities. Partial transcript as follows, courtesy of RushLimbaugh.com. Limbaugh, we can rest assured that this is the case, having watched it last night. I saw people complaining. The Fox News people were complaining that the speech was too long, 70 minutes. Let me tell you, if anybody has earned the right to take as much time as he wants to explain himself, it's Donald Trump. The man has been slandered and libeled multiple times a day every day for 4 years. He has been unfairly criticized. He's been lied about. He has been the subject of a search and destroy campaign. And this entire week the Republican National Convention has been a focused period of time for Trump and his administration to tell their story. And if it took him 70 minutes last night to do it, fine and dandy. They say, well, why no, he didn't seem to have a whole lot of energy out there. He was not going to win, no matter what he did. If he'd done Trump at a rally, they'd have said he wasn't presidential. If he had gone out and been really tough and called Biden a bunch of names, they would have said, he's not presidential. He's not taking it seriously. So last night I thought he was actually really good. The only thing that upset me about it going long was people were falling asleep in the Eastern time zone and missing some of it. I thought it was exactly what was called for. It was calm. It was assuring. And you know something else? Remember the pre-publicity on all this. The pre-publicity was, Trump was gonna come out. He was gonna fire on all cylinders, and he was gonna be ripping Biden and Kamala Harris a new one, and that's not what we got last night. We got a guy who was self-assured, who was confident. I couldn't tell when he was on the prompter and when he wasn't. He was funny in a deadpan, slow-stated or downplayed kind of way, and he was unthreatening. You know, the pre-publicity on this was, well, this guy, he's going to come out firing both barrels. You better be prepared. He's going to launch everything. It wasn't that way at all. It was calm, it was reasoned, and for those watching Trump to learn a little bit about him, there wasn't anything about it that was threatening. Look, folks, I also have some other observations about things that have happened while I've been away. I want to take the opportunity here of this occasion just to get some of those thoughts in preparation for my return to the golden-eyed microphone on Monday. I loved Ivanka's speech last night. One line particularly stood out, Washington didn't change my father. My father changed Washington. Boy, is that true. It is right on the money true, and it continues to be the case. And it explains why they continue, in the establishment, deep state, whatever, to be so outraged and indignant and irrational. They're incapable of being rational when Trump is around, precisely because he is changing where they live. He's changing where they work. Now, can I remind you of something? And I took a lot of heat for this. I said last week that the Democrat challenge was going to be to find a way to renege on the debates. And everybody, blogosphere, pundits, and people on cable news, said, Limbaugh is off his rocker. He doesn't know what he is talking about. Of course there's going to be debates. There's going to be 3 debates. Biden is assuring everybody there's going to be debates, and what happened? Nancy Pelosi, stop and think of this, folks. Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, I would not legitimize a conversation with him. Now, she's clearly laying the groundwork for Biden not to have to debate, and she wouldn't have done that without the Biden campaign's knowledge of it. The idea she's out there shooting from the hip? I guess it's possible because it's Pelosi. She may be trying to manipulate things because I'll tell you something else going on out there, folks. You know, internal polls for politicians don't lie. The polls that they do that they report to you and me, like take your pick of any poll. Those polls, as you well know, are made to shape public opinion, not reflect it. But internal polls, like the Trump campaign internal polls or the Biden internal polls? They're not lying to themselves in those polls, and those polls must be bad. I saw a poll, and I can't remember the name of it right now. Let me find it real quick. Shuffling papers. Black Lives Matter in Wisconsin's popularity has gone from plus 25 to 0 in 2 months. Oh, yeah. It was a tweet here from noted hate expert Jonathan Chait. Democrats need to be extremely concerned about what's happening in Wisconsin, where support for BLM has gone from plus 25 to plus 0 in 2 months. In Wisconsin. It's happening all over the place, and by now I'm sure you've all heard that CNN anchors are warning, oh, we gotta get serious. We got to talk about the rioting. The focus group data looks bad. The polling data looks bad. Oh, so now it's not about saving lives, not about saving property. Now that all this is starting to hurt the Democrats, now they've got to start talking about it? But these internal polls must be bad. They don't lie in these internal polls. Biden, did you notice yesterday he didn't just leave the basement, he went up a floor? He went to the living room. He went up to where there's a fireplace, in August. Kamala Harris emerged from whatever hovel she was living in to come out and tell a bunch of whoppers about Trump. And I think the fact that these polls, the internal polls in the Biden campaign, are bad can be seen in the Biden campaign's activity. Here's a New York Times story, how chaos in Kenosha is already swaying some voters in Wisconsin, and there's a quote from somebody here. Ellen Ferwerda, who owns an antique furniture store downtown just blocks from the worst of the destruction that is now closed, said, Democratic leaders seemed hesitant to condemn the mayhem. I think they just don't know what to say. If you don't know what to say about rioters, if you don't know what to say about people that are destroying your town, then it's obvious you don't know what to do about it, either. Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, a lot of these players, NFL, NBA, NHL, decided to not practice or cancel a bunch of games because of the shooting in Kenosha. And Bruce Arians, the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said, I don't know that protest is an action. I think each guy has a personal thing. Already people in the sports media are outraged that he would say this, that the Boston Tea Party was protest. No, it was action. It was much more than just marching up and down the street or carrying a bunch of signs or looting and destroying other people's property. There is a big difference between action and protest. What he was really saying was, summarized. Canceling practice, not practicing football one day, is not going to change anything you claim to be in favor of. It's not going to matter a whit, and so, he didn't say this. I will, they're getting away with engaging in a bunch of symbolism while not having to engage in any genuine substance. Folks, a couple of other things here that I want to delve into. I actually believe. I saw a little note from Glenn Reynolds at Instapundit. Actually, there were some major things happening this week that I haven't heard anybody say. Now, that doesn't mean nobody has, because I haven't been able to listen to everything. But I look at the Republican convention. It's been the most diverse political convention I've ever seen, including Democrat conventions. And as I've watched it, it has occurred to me that Trump isn't just running for re-election. The story that is being told at the Republican National Convention is about saving America. It's about saving America from a race war that the Democrats are out there actively trying to promote. They're trying to foment it. They want this country to be black versus white, immigrant versus native, male versus female. That's what they want. They want that chaos. They want this constant us versus them aspect of daily life. And Trump is making it clear that he's interested in people who are constructive, productive, generally happy. He's not interested in parasites, the generally miserable. He wants everybody to join in this project of making America great again. To restoring America's greatness where we had contentment and happiness, and people sought happiness. The fact that all of that is controversial still amazes me. But I think it's an. If you look at the Republican convention, it is astounding, the understory, or some of the themes underneath the surface that are, I think, extremely powerful. There's another thing, folks, that is undeniable. And that is the Republican Party is no longer the party of the McCains or the Bushes or the Romneys or take your pick. I mean, or the Koch brothers, all the big donors and so forth. This is clearly a Republican Party now that is Donald Trump's. And he's got 92-95% Republican loyalty. It's one of the most amazing transformations of a political party, and it's taken place in less than 3 years. At this convention, George W. Bush was nowhere to be found. None of the old Republican elders. Romney was nowhere to be found. Not that they wanted to be there, but that's the point. So I think that there is a lot, folks, to be optimistic about, particularly if President Trump wins. Alarm chime. Oops. There's my timer telling me that my time is up, but it's not up. I gave myself a couple of extra seconds here. It is an opportunity for an upbeat, positive nature among all of us. This week has been very eye-opening for me. It's been a very bad week, and yet it has ended for me feeling inspired and upbeat and really confident about the future of our country if President Trump is re-elected. I believe the opposite is true if he's not. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.